Report and possible discussion on BlackRock Merrill Lynch Quarterly Portfolio Report by John Hong.
I will introduce Jeff Hewlett with Merrill Lynch, and then I think Jeff will introduce Jeff Biggers, who's with BlackRock, and let them do their presentation.
Madam Chair, Directors, what we're presenting today is the calendar quarter, or correction, fiscal quarter, which is December, January, February, which is in the rear. What I haven't done in the past, but we'll start doing, is I also give you an update as of Friday of last week. You see some of the indices are not there, but it's not available yet. But that gives you an update as of the last business day. As far as the portfolio itself, it's in compliance with the asset allocation and then the holdings that it has inside it. With that, Jeff Biggers can go through and give you a portfolio review. Let's have some questions.
And there's about five pages through this that I'll run through, and then we can answer whatever any questions at that point. In advance, this is the investment objective and benchmark, just stating that the equity benchmark is S&P 500, the fixed income, what was Lehman Brothers is now Barclays Capital, it's their government corporate bond index. Advance a couple of pages. One more. This is, that's off a little, there we go, that's easier to read. This is the sector breakdown, or the asset allocation breakdown. The pie chart on the left is showing you what the allocation was going back one quarter, so that was at the end of November. Equities made up 54%, bonds at 44%, and cash at 2%. Fast forward to the end of February. End of February, the allocation was 51% stock, 46% fixed income, and 3% cash. If you look at that page you have now, just to be more up to date, as of Friday, we're now at about 55% on equities. Again, markets have rallied from where they were at the end of February, accounts for the change. There's no massive selling of fixed income to buy equities. That's just as a result of the equities appreciating. On total account value plus accrued income at the end of February was $18,657,000. Next page. This is showing you the top 10 holdings in the portfolio, and we've got the breakdown of the sectors on the right. It's actually easier to look at that part on the next page. But the top 10 holdings, led by ExxonMobil, Chevron, Johnson & Johnson, Hewlett-Packard, IBM, Travelers, Occidental, Pfizer, McDonald's, and Express Scripts. Go to the next page, we get a little easier analysis showing you where our sector bets are relative to the S&P 500. The BRA portfolio is in the blue, the S&P 500 is in the green right next to it. See, basically, energy and information technology remain our two largest overweights, and then in healthcare, and then underweight financials, underweight utilities, telecom, and basic materials. The only major difference between when this was run and currently, we have increased our consumer discretionary allocation that's now an overweight versus the S&P 500. On the next page, this is a breakdown of the fixed income portion of the account. Looking at the right side here, you see the total average credit quality is AA. Our duration is just over 4.5 years. Average maturity 5.6, giving us an average yield maturity at the end of February of 3.61. The breakdown of the fixed income sectors. Treasuries remain our largest position at 36%. Corporates are the next largest at 33%. Agencies make up 11.8%, and mortgage-backed securities at just over 18%. And then the final page that I'll go through on the performance report. Again, looking at the bottom part of this, which says performance history, and in the gray, total portfolio. That's the portfolio for the Grass River Authority. Last 3 months, down 5.36. You can see the equities were down, and going down that column, we're down 12.54. The bonds were positive 3.41. The S&P 500 over that time frame is down 17.31. Bond benchmark was down, or was positive 2.07. Then that last number, again, it looks that alphabet, that's your custom benchmark. That is 60% S&P 500, 35% Barclays GovCorp bond index, and 5% cash. it was down 9.94. So outperformed on the combined basis, and then both equities and fixed income relative to their benchmark. Year-to-date column is next, count down 9.9. Last 12 months was down 22.33, and for the calendar year 2008, down 17.28. Then we pick up a two-year, three-year, five-year annualized number, and the number out to the far right is a number since inception. Annualizing down 0.47. Equities in a pretty difficult period here, annualizing down 5.29. Bonds, thankfully positive 6.31. Equity of the S&P, same time frame, down 5.34. The bond benchmark up 6.19. And then the blended benchmark at the very bottom, analyzing down 0.56. So relative to the equity and to the fixed income, we've outperformed over every time period. And then on the combined basis as well, going all the way back to inception of the account, which was May 25th of 2000. Questions on the performance that's either there or the more up-to-date version? It's now down a little over 4% from Friday. Versus at this point, the year-to-date number was down 9.9, so the equity market rally clearly made a big difference on performance in a relatively short period of time. Any questions regarding?
Are you going to talk about what you're expecting?
Yeah, I'll do that now if we have anything. No questions on this part.
Well, I'll save questions until then.
Okay. I'll wait. Okay. I guess I'll basically outline the negatives that are out there, and I think those are very apparent to all of us. Probably the biggest thing, and probably a structural change in the global economy, is going to be, I think, that we're going to use less leverage going from this point forward. I would say going back all the way to the 90s to present, look at profit margins and look at economic growth. Probably both of those numbers were inflated because of the use and easy access to credit and the overuse of credit to some degree. And I think now going forward, you're already seeing corporations and individuals are going through this deleveraging process, shrinking balance sheets, electing to probably raise some more cash, and again, not use debt, all the way from autos to houses and maybe in some degrees even within corporate capital structure. So that's a big kind of macro overhang that I would say coming out of this recession that we're currently in, I think it's going to lead to a little bit more of a muted recovery just because of the fact that we're not going to be using credit to the extent that we had going into this period. Probably, long term, it's going to make for a healthier economy, healthier consumer, certainly. But in the meantime, it's going to probably mean lower economic growth coming out of this. The second, probably clearly a negative, is looking at the unemployment rate. That's probably the one thing that most of us can associate with, and they see that either friends, neighbors, have been laid off or unemployed. And I think that the unemployment number will continue to rise. And unfortunately, if you're just waiting on unemployment to stop going up and go down before you either make an allocation to equities or increase it, you probably wait too long. Markets usually well ahead in advance of that. That's the unemployment numbers are a very lagging indicator. So that's kind of, I would say valuations are on equities. They were really good going back into early March when the S&P created that low of what a nasty number, 666. And they're not as attractive today. Obviously, we've had a pretty big run up in stocks. So we're probably on our allocations where we can really fluctuate with what our equity allocation is versus benchmark. Across the firm at BlackRock, we're neutral right now. So if you look at your investment policy, you're right in the middle of what your investment policy allows in terms of you can go as conservative as 45 or as high as 65% for your equity exposure, and we're currently right now at 55. Valuations are supportive, they're just not as cheap as they were back in early March. On to the positive side, I would say probably the one thing that is a positive, and it's going to sound unusual, is that no one believes in this rally. Institutional investors surveyed by ISI still think that 85% of those surveyed think that we're still in a bear market. And almost 100% of those people think that we are going to go down and retest back into that 600 area or high 600s on the S&P 500. So usually we kind of run counter to that, if that's what consensus believes. Usually they're going to be long. The other positives, looking at, this is very...
Repeat what you just said. You said you normally run counter to that survey of institutional investors?
When you look at investor sentiment or consumer sentiment, when it reaches, you know, very, very bearish levels, it's usually, you know, they're looking at what's happened recently in the past, and they're kind of voting that way. Typically, when you see, you know, the extreme readings of consumer confidence at the low end, that's usually right around the market bottom. So the fact that people still are thinking or not believing in this rally, that's actually kind of a positive, that people either haven't contributed money into this or they're still in cash, they're not buying in yet. It's actually kind of a positive. It's kind of counterintuitive.
Okay.
Yeah. But the company surveys, and again, I go back to ISI, one of the big research shops that we use. They do a weekly survey, get a pretty good capture of all of the economy. They look at airlines, they look at truckers, technology companies, bank loan officers, auto dealers, everything, home builders, to get an idea of what the people that are running these companies are doing inside their individual companies. And we're seeing that the waterfall, just free fall decline has stopped. And about the last 8 weeks, we've seen that these company surveys are gradually ticking back up higher. And even places like auto dealers, where you wouldn't think you'd be seeing that, we are. They've improved from a low of about a 25 reading up to about a 34 reading right now. Still, that's pretty bad. Anything below 50, maybe kind of in contraction. But they've stopped declining, and they're starting to rise again. That's a very early indicator. The yield curve, which was inverted, going back 12, 18 months ago, is now very, very steep. Obviously, the Federal Reserve has done their part on getting short-term rates down to basically 0 to 0.25. Same thing has been done, not quite as low, in Europe and in England and Canada. Basically, around the world, you're having a massive both fiscal and monetary response to this problem. In fact, if you go back from when the crisis began, there's been over 557 different policy responses globally to this problem. Steep yield curve, surging money supply, dividend yield on stocks is now very, very close to what the yield is on the S&P 500. Very rare occurrence where you can get the same yield on a stock portfolio as the 10-year treasury. And again, that doesn't matter here, but for individuals, at a much more advantaged tax rate. So I'd say, earnings, are not going to be good this year. We all know that. But we think that going back into, looking forward in 2010, the market's already starting to discount a better earnings environment and better economic growth into 2010. If you look at the sectors that are starting to do well right now, it has been retailers. You wouldn't think that retailers would do well. First glance, you wouldn't expect retailers to do well in a period where unemployment is rising and everyone has been shutting down consumption. But that's usually what happens. These early cyclical sectors start to lead the way. You've got retailers leading, you've got information technology companies doing well. And then probably the biggest thing is looking at the emerging markets. From not that South Korea is necessarily emerging, but South Korea, China, Brazil, seeing very, very good growth. And the fact is, they are not going to be in recession. China, we're still projecting real GDP growth of over 7% this year. So, from that standpoint, I think we're seeing some signs that we're coming out of this recession, probably late third quarter and the fourth quarter this year. Market typically will react ahead of that, maybe up to 6 months. So it's not that would not be that uncommon if we were starting a new bull market trend right now. I would just say it's not going to be the kind of returns that we came to expect in the late 1990s. And not just for equities, I think for all asset classes. Whether you're talking about real estate, alternative investments, fixed income, I think you're just going to have to have the assumption that you're going to have lower nominal returns across all asset classes. Now, questions?
Question. We're running a 55% equity, which is, as you said, the middle of the range, but the target is 60. And again, what you're saying about most people think it's going down. BlackRock is a little counter to that, is counter to that.
Right.
Are you anticipating taking your asset allocation up to the target, or what's your plan, your equity allocation up to the target?
Right now, again, we're fairly neutral. We'll let equities rise. We're not going to be trimming equities into strength right now. So it would be comfortable letting that drift higher up into 60%. Again, you just look at how low returns are on the treasury portion of this account. You know, the two-year treasury is around 0.9, out to the 10-year today around high twos, around 3%. And we know from, we have our actuary here, it's
going
to be very difficult to reach long-term goals with a huge allocation to something that we know is going to be a very low return from starting point today. So not ready to get real aggressive and start selling fixed income to go up to that upper end of the spectrum, but as always, we take input from the committee. We felt that was prudent.
You know what's interesting, and I sat on another board, and we have a different investment advisor. And what was interesting is last week they said that they felt that this was a bear rally and we would test bottoms again. And they talked about hold the reallocation until it had gone up and back down, and then buy the stocks at the down, because then you've got the up in the future, and now that will produce your returns.
Absolutely. I'd say if we're going to go forward in that direction and make a tactical call to increase equities, I think that we will have a chance to buy stocks a little lower than where they're at today.
Okay.
It was a huge run off that bottom. Not that we think that we're going to go back down and get in the 670 area on the S&P, but I would hope that we could make some
They were predicting back to 6,500 on the Dow, and testing somewhere in that range before they saw an up again.
Yeah.
So I found that interesting, but they were bullish on the latter quarter of this year being a healthy gain.
Yeah, I think that fourth quarter will probably be the first quarter where we at least have flat, maybe slightly positive real GDP growth. And the earnings picture is going to look a lot better then too. Just the comparisons that you start going back into the fourth quarter of 2008 were terrible. So we've got really easy comparisons getting late in the year.
Anything else?
I've got a question. What is the fee that we pay BlackRock?
I don't know.
Actually, there's a breakdown.
Yeah.
It's 35% on the fixed income. About 43 on the equity, and there are
35 basis points.
Yeah, 35 basis points. So, and there's also a trading of 10%, 10 cents per share, and we normally run about 48 basis points per year.
That's about right. That's about, I was going to say, mid 40s basis points is what it tends to be on a blended basis. It is a tier.
And our equities went down in percentage.
Equity.
Not only value, but percentage. So y'all sold a bunch of equities.
No,
they just go down, I guess.
Yeah. The decline there was as a result of equities underperforming bonds.
And that equates, in real numbers, just put it in perspective, that equates to an actual annual fee. They bill us quarterly. It's somewhere now. It was up close to $100,000 a year when you had, a little over $20 million value. That 45 basis points is about around $100,000 a year. It's obviously a little bit less than that now, with our values down, so just gives you an idea that's about what you're looking at in sort of absolute numbers.
And we've never made a profit if we look at it today.
Yeah. And this is the period, the 10-year annualized number on the S&P 500 ended, the 10 years ended September, March 31st. The S&P has annualized a negative 3% per year return over a decade. So that accounts for obviously the fixed income has been positive, the equities. This has not been a
bad time,
a good decade. The worst ever, by the way, just so you can reference it, was down 5% annualized per year.
I thought this was the worst 10. This was the worst 10-year on history going back.
It is on, if you're looking at on calendar years into 12/31, if you allow any 10-year period to be captured. So when we go through the March quarter, it's the worst ever was 5%, and it ended, I think it was August 31st of 1939.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baker.